Hello, it's Thursday, June 8th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, where we lay it all on the table for you each and every day. Let the chips fall where they may. Some people might hate us, some people might love us, but guess what? They're all tuning in because we're talking about things that nobody else in the alternative media is talking about, and we're giving you information that most of the others are very afraid to touch.
And in the end, the lies will only sting the liars.
That's right. Now, today, we're going to talk about Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and a recent interview that he did with a German magazine called Der Spiegel. But there's so much breaking news that we're going to delay that or push that off until another day because there's a lot of things going on. First, before we get to the big story, we got an email from a Wing TV viewer and listener in Europe. His name's Philip. And he said that he'll donate $100 to anyone who sends a real picture of Jeff Rentz to Wing TV. $100 reward to anybody with a real picture of Jeff Rentz. First one here wins. Now, Philip didn't make any stipulations.
Well,
on
I
this
have
offer,
one.
But I have a few.
I have at least one. The picture cannot come from you, Jeff Rentz.
Yeah.
It can't come from any of your groupies or Judy Andreas or any of your columnists. It has to come from a credible source. And as we've clearly demonstrated, you, Jeff Rentz, are not a credible source of information, especially about yourself.
Yeah, and it can't be a photoshopped picture that comes from Jeff Rentz's website. What we want is a legitimate picture, preferably from a newspaper, a magazine, from a company brochure that's dated, that's verified, that we can find a photographer, and preferably maybe even Jeff Rentz with somebody.
Hey, your brother Rick works for the mainstream Deadstream Media, so why doesn't he submit a professional photo of you? Perhaps like a family photo would be nice.
Yeah, and no disguises also. So this is a $100 reward from Philip in Europe. The first picture, the first real, legitimate picture of Jeff Rentz that can be verified. $100 reward.
We should start a Rentz picture pool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, as we said, breaking news. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi killed in Iraq. He's been called the godfather of sectarian killing. He was also, supposedly now, the person that beheaded Nick Berg. Now, we all remember that, don't we, Lisa? And there's a there's a lot of speculation that it wasn't real, that it never took place like that. He was also blamed for the gold dome attack in Iraq recently that they said led to this increase in sectarian violence. And here's the way I look at it, is doesn't it seem real convenient that within the last week or so, we have all this news about the Haditha massacre. Remember, the updated My Lai massacre of Vietnam. This is the modern day. And within the next week or so, this is supposed to break, and everything is supposed to hit the fan.
Well, this is supposed to be brownie points for our side to show we're actually doing things over there other than just killing innocent people. But one of our listeners pointed out something very interesting. In the photo that they used of Zarqawi, his face looks remarkably clean for somebody who just got bombed to death.
Yeah.
His face is totally clean. You would expect there to be some blood, maybe.
You know, I'm not even convinced that there is an Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, in all honesty. And they're saying that this is the president's biggest victory now since Saddam was captured, and the White House is going to come out and tout it, that this is where the tide has finally turned. But didn't we hear the same thing, that once we catch Saddam, the tide is going to turn? Oh, and once we catch Saddam's two sons, what were their names? Abu and Sabu or something. Once we catch Saddam's two sons, then the tide is going to turn and the United States is going to win. Well, the tide hasn't turned at any of those, and I think this is just a little too convenient that the Haditha massacre is getting ready to break. So the other side needs their little victory, their little brownie points, as Lisa said.
And we can't really trust any of the photos of these people that they show us, that they parade in front of us, because it's very obvious to many of us out here that the Osama bin Laden videos have been faked, and the pictures of the purported 9/11 hijackers aren't the real deal either.
Well, and how about just yesterday on the Wing TV homepage, we posted that article where the FBI now admits that there's no hard evidence.
Yeah.
Hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11.
Right, so why did we invade Afghanistan to smoke him out?
Yeah.
The author wants to know.
No hard evidence whatsoever. Also this morning, and since we were going to talk about Ahmadinejad, this story does relate to Iran. There's an author named Kenneth Timmerman. He was interviewed this morning. And he's saying that the IAEA, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, that Iran is involved in nuclear weapons research. Well, doesn't this sound too conveniently familiar, like it's another neocon spiel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they might have anywhere between 20 and 25 bombs already. 20 or 25. Now, this is kind of weird because just recently John Negroponte came out and said that Iran is at least 5 years away from nuclear weapons and maybe 10. So the interviewer then
that's
asked...
That's a pretty big leap.
Yeah.
5 to 10, and now they already have
20 to 25. Yeah. Do you think we can kind of see where this is going, huh? Now, of course, the interviewer this morning asked Mr. Timmerman two different times, when do you think Iran will have these bombs? And both times, he sidestepped it, he moved on to other issues. Never did answer the question, when are they going to have the bombs?
Is he supposed to?
Yeah, well, obviously not, because he didn't answer the question. But then he finally said that Israel may be forced to strike Iran.
Oh, forced.
They might be forced to it. Like, of course, they'll be.
And we all know how much Israel hates to kill.
Yeah. I mean, they're just innocent bystanders,
right,
minding their own business in the Middle East. But
if you doubt it, ask any of the USS Liberty surviving crewmen how much Israel hates to strike.
Yeah, but events are going to spin so far out of control that Israel's going to have no other option but to strike Iran. So, Kenneth Timmerman. I was going to look him up on the internet before the show, but we got a couple calls. But I have a sneaking suspicion that he might be one of those neocons. What do you think?
Possibly.
Very possibly. Now, the big story today. Wait, first of all, before we get to this, we have to cover this Alabama church burning. And we're going to have an article tomorrow on the Wing TV homepage. It's going to be the lead article. And it seems like now that the lawyers for these three Jewish teenagers that were into Satanism and the occult, it seems like they want to work out some kind of plea bargain, huh?
Well, they may never go to trial. The trial date has been moved from June to November, and there's a lot of infighting going on over the plea agreement. What's creating the delay is the issue of where they will serve their jail time.
Yeah.
So some of the people involved in the case want them to serve time at a federal prison, and then others want that to keep it out of the federal realm.
Yeah.
You know,
keep
this
it
is
in
a
Alabama.
Pretty racist thing. You know, these are all black churches, so...
Well, not only racist, but bigoted.
Absolutely. So what? How are these kids going to fare in a maximum security prison, you know, federal pen?
Well, and there's a lot of people in Alabama that are feeling real cheated by this because they want to know the details. Because after the first five fires, that they used some kind of, like, incendiary magnesium and these real high-tech explosives,
you know,
okay?
Stuff that kids can get any day of the week.
Things that are just laying around every day in your kitchen cabinet or out in your shed, okay? Well, after the first five fires, these kids said that it was nothing but a spontaneous joke, all right? It was just a joke. It was a harmless prank. They set five churches on fire and burned them to the ground, but it was nothing but a joke. Then the last four fires they did to cover up their tracks of the first five. Now, if there's a plea bargain, what's going to happen is none of the details of this case are ever going to come out in a court of law. And don't you think that the nation of Israel would want that very, very much? They don't want the details coming out because instead of this just being some kind of harmless prank that these kids just all of a sudden, you know, they got tired of skipping rocks across the stream or something, they're going to set some churches on fire. You know, just a prank. So Israel doesn't want the details of this case coming out. So they're going to do the plea bargain, hang these kids out to dry, and hopefully, at least for them, wipe the slate clean so nobody learns nothing.
Well, I think they should serve a maximum sentence for what they did. I know their lawyers are looking to get them the minimum sentence. I think it's 7 years.
I think it should go to trial so we can find out, not only because these kids couldn't get these kind of explosives and these kind of incendiary devices on their own. There's something behind this. There's a real big, nasty agenda. And now what they're doing is scurrying
whatever
to sweep the whole
thing.
Whatever
happened to staying home and doing your homework?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'd even tell them to play video games. Go burn churches down on video games if you want. But, you know, for crying out loud, it's just amazing. So, all right. Now we got to get to the Wing TV lead article. Mr. Mike Ruffert, everybody's favorite peak oil scam artist, came out with an article yesterday. Or was it today? It was today, actually, June 8th, or that's at least when I received it. It's called, The New York Times Puts 9/11 Questions in the Grave. As sad as it was predictable, story marks the end of a sequential and planned campaign to discredit authentic 9/11 research. How's that for a title?
How would he know what authentic 9/11 research is?
Exactly. Now, it seems like Mike Ruffert is about the most bitter, the most resentful, the most sociopathic or the most pathological miscreant there is coming down the pike, because this guy, as we've said, has done more damage to the 9/11 movement than any other single person, and we consider him right now public enemy number one.
He's just a joke. He's a horse's ass. This guy says, Rupert, the 9/11 truth movement has been virtually consigned to a footnote in the dustbin of history. Maybe in the dustbin of your mind, Rupert. Yeah. He says, the truth is that the real and best 9/11 researchers chose a long time ago not to ride willingly into the Little Bighorn Massacre. No, you rode off into the sunset on the back of an elephant, remember, Rupert?
Yeah, that's when you wrote your big article saying 9/11 was dead. And then
a second. And the real and best researchers are still at the forefront of this fight for 9/11 truth. And that doesn't include you, Rupert, because you abandoned the cause.
You abandoned the cause, and nobody wants you here anyway. And we have now inside sourcing to verify that. We're not going to bring it up right now. You know what? Yes, we are. I guess that there were some people that wanted to invite Mike Ruffert to this latest Chicago
Gay Fest.
Yeah, this latest Chicago event. And it ended up being vetoed. It ended up being voted down.
They didn't want you there, Rupert.
Right. They don't want you, and we don't want you, and none of these other people in the 9/11 research movement, some of us who have been here since day one, others who have just joined, none of us want you, Mike. And it's proven now, because you used to be the little darling of 911truth.org, and they voted to get you the hell off of the roster.
And so you became a major purveyor of misinformation.
Yeah. And you know what, Mike? We
just
hear
like
also all of your old former cronies that were pitching this peak oil stuff have all abandoned you. Nobody believes it anymore. And that's the main reason, Mike, why you weren't invited out there, is that you're pitching this hoax, peak oil, plus you're still buying the government's version of events where you won't stand. What Rupert basically is a lie hopper, that the government just let it happen on purpose, when in fact they made it happen on purpose, and it even goes further than that. Now, anyway, so Ruffert then says in this article, he says, well, I told you so. What the hell did he tell us? He told us so what? What did he tell us?
I don't know. He calls one of the 9/11 pioneer researchers Daniel Hopsicker. You know, I believe in the whole terrorist hijacker theory, Mr. I crunch on light bulbs while I'm talking on interviews. Mr. I have to subscribe to the official version as far as the hijackers go, because otherwise I won't sell any books.
Yeah, yeah. The only reason he's still clinging to it is because he wants to sell his books. But all of the big sources that Mike Ruffert cites all side with the government, that either the 19 Arab hijackers did it. That's Paul Thompson, who did the famous timeline, which is worthless. Nafid Ahmez, who still believes the 19 hijackers did it, and Daniel Hopsicker. He also then quotes two people as brilliant researchers, John Judge and Mark Rabinowitz, both of whom say that, yes, the government was correct, and Flight 77 did hit the Pentagon.
Look at what else he says, too. The most widely respected 9/11 researchers have stayed completely away from physical evidence arguments.
Hmm.
And he thinks the most important evidence is the non-scientific evidence, which would be the war game exercises.
Yeah.
Considering his background, supposedly, in law enforcement, this runs totally counter
to
what his training was. As a police officer, as a detective, you're supposed to regard the physical evidence, Mike, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. Say you're building a criminal case, and you have a choice between basing your case on circumstantial evidence or on concrete physical evidence. Which one would you pick?
Well, the concrete physical evidence.
Yeah. So Rupert,
physical evidence always trumps everything else.
Right. So Rupert's saying, well, we shouldn't build our case on physical evidence, but we should just settle for circumstantial evidence.
And speculation, yeah. And theory.
Yeah, and that's all.
And conjecture.
So Mike Rupert's in a court of law, and the judge says, well, what do you base all this on, Mr. Rupert? And he says, well, I have this theory about this peak oil thing, and then Dick Cheney and this...
Well, he says the war games were the cause of the stand-down. He wants to pin everything about 9/11
everything.
On Dick Cheney. Forget all the other people behind and above and beyond Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
No, it's only Dick Cheney. And you know what? His book was long, it was tedious, and he didn't bring out the big revelations that he promised.
Right.
In the hype that preceded his book.
Well, and even the stand down, though, Lisa goes further, according
Absolutely.
To Rupert, that it's all based on peak oil.
Oh,
so
yeah,
Dick Cheney was working because of this peak oil concept, and that's why there was the stand down. Case closed. Nobody needs to know anything else. Just Dick Cheney, peak oil, and the stand down. Forget about physical evidence at the Pentagon, at Shanksville, at the World Trade Center towers. Forget everything else. Let's just build the case on circumstantial evidence. That's it.
Yeah. He says his evidence, his hard evidence, you know, the non-scientific evidence, the non-physical evidence, he says, cannot and has not been refuted or even acknowledged by the government. I believe you, Rupert, on that, because I do believe the government's ignoring you, just like everyone else.
Yeah, exactly. And it seems like Mike Rupert's a very angry, bitter man these days. And you have to ask, well, why is Mike Rupert so angry? Well, let's go back to September 11th, 2001. The day after, Mike Rupert comes out and makes a declaration. There was no controlled demolition. Look in a different direction. No controlled demolition. So for the first year, maybe even 2 years, Lisa.
He's still saying he doesn't subscribe.
Oh, I know.
He says, not one of the authors of the 3 best-selling books challenging the Keene Commission adopted or endorsed this position of the controlled demolition or made this statement. And he cites David Ray Griffin as one of the authors.
The cornerstone of all of David Ray Griffin's speeches and his 2 books has been the controlled demolition. So he tells a blatant lie right in that article. But let's go back. So the first year or two after 9/11, he has a lot of groupies. He has a lot of his sicko fans. They're tailing him on his tail, believing all this crap that he says. Then all of a sudden,
fan club.
Right. Then all of a sudden, people start coming out like Dave McGowan. And they hit him from one direction. Then you have people like John Kaminsky. They start hitting him from the other direction about Israel. Then we have the big Wing TV exposés. And these crush him.
Yeah, well, his weak, lame theories gets bitch slapped every time.
Yeah.
And he knows it. He refused to debate us. We had some questions to ask him. He wouldn't come on our show. He had to hide behind his computer screen to even answer these questions. And Rupert, you know, if you really believed in 9/11 truth, you never would have abandoned the cause.
Yeah. Well, tell him what the final nail in his coffin was, Lisa, when you were in this Truth Alliance group.
Yeah, I was asking him some questions. I had never posted anything to him. And I posted some questions to him. The very next day, he quit the group.
And then, shortly thereafter...
And I guess he'd been in that group for a while.
Then shortly thereafter...
He left the 9/11 truth movement.
Yeah, that's when he wrote that article saying 9/11 is dead. Move on to other subjects. So,
well, supposedly he left the 9/11 truth movement. Well, he was never in it for truth, I don't think. But he left the movement.
Right.
It's just too bad he keeps popping up like a bad penny.
Yeah. So if anyone asks, why is Mike Rupert so angry? Well, it's because all of us, Wing TV, all of these other researchers, all these other people doing exposés, we all ran him out of the movement. He couldn't stand the heat anymore because he'd been exposed. So now all
exposed
he does...
Exposed as an op.
Yeah.
He's an op.
Yeah, so he's angry because he's on the inside, he's on the outside looking in, and nobody's opening up the door for him
Look
anymore.
Look what he says about loose change.
Yeah.
He calls loose change, Dylan Avery's loose change, a very fine piece of CIA disinformation, one that fits the maxim, disinformation in order to be effective must be 90% accurate, which is still a way higher percentage than your accuracy level, Rupert.
Exactly. Then he goes on to say, listen to this, that he's kind of implying that Dylan Avery and Loose Change plagiarized or stole material from him. He says, the film opens with some of my original research.
Well, I think and I smell the Rupert lawsuit stick coming on.
Including images taken from the FTW site. So, you know, now that the Naudette brothers are threatening a lawsuit.
He's going to jump on the Naudette back.
But he also, that wasn't the only person he spoke about. How about Alex Jones? Here's what he says about Alex Jones. And this is because Jones was mentioned in the New York Times puff piece, or the fluff piece. He says about Jones that he's anointed a not-so-credible and easy-to-dismiss Jones as leader of the movement, wrap him up in a ball with the kooks, then flush the whole things. Then he talks about Alex and his love of money. He says, Jones' pocketbook is flush. However, since he helped trash the movement, which others made credible, as he appropriated their research. So, he's also saying that Alex is stealing information, I guess.
Kind of ironic that you talk about Alex's pockets being flush when you borrowed $50,000 from your listeners by holding out the tin cup to pay for your employees' living expenses, and you moved to Ashland, Oregon, a curious destination. In fact, a destination where Jeff Rentz says that he's located on one of his MySpace pages.
Yeah.
Of all the places in the world you could relocate, Rupert, you choose Ashland, Oregon. What, are you going to go be in the same office with your buddy Rentz?
Yeah. And all of you out there, I'm sure many of you have moved quite a number of times in your life. Some of you might be moving within the next year.
How many of you expect other people to pay for your move?
Yeah, how many of you put the tin cup out? How about go to all the people in your neighborhood and say, you know what, I'm moving next month, but I don't have any money to move. So will you give me money to help me move?
Well, supposedly, he says on his website that a lot of this money went toward straightening out customer orders. Who messed him up in the first place?
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell that means, other than it sounds like a ruse. But
sounds like a lie.
Yeah, so here's Mike Ruper complaining about Alex Jones making so much money. At least Alex Jones isn't begging people. Well, he might be pushing the hard sell shtick, but at least he's not begging like you are, Rupert, which is pathetic beyond words. So then he goes in this article again about that widely respected 9/11 researchers always stay away from physical evidence. I'd like to see Vinny Sammartino have a little sit-down chat with Mike Rupert about physical evidence, because what we said in our last article is it would take Vinny about 2 minutes to chew Rupert up and spit him out. You know?
I wouldn't even give it 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So there's good old Mike Rupert, and all you have to do is read this article. I mean, he's like a bad virus. You know, when you get a cold and it goes away, and then a few months later it comes back again, he's like a bad sickness.
I also wanted to bring up, too, we were talking a little bit yesterday about this email we got from somebody who is an Alex Jones fan, I guess, and they were in Austin, and they moseyed on over to see Alex Jones' production offices. And what they found instead of Alex Jones Productions, they found a business called Castle Dental. And they went into the building, and there's no Alex Jones Productions in the building. It's very bizarre. This person said they watched people getting their teeth cleaned through the windows, and there was no Alex Jones anywhere. So rather than just take this person's word for it, and see, the guy wanted to buy videos and stuff from Alex Jones and was going to send the payment, but it turns out that the number that's listed on Jones' website is to Castle Dental. And I know this because I called there 2 days ago, and was asking, you know, where's Alex Jones Productions? And this person hadn't heard of Alex Jones Productions being there. He said he might have been there at some point in the past. But on Alex's website, even as of yesterday when I looked, he still had, it's the same phone number. I got some information for a different address. But it's the same phone number to the dental offices, you know, where they sell retainers and perform oral surgery.
So if anybody out there...
So what's the deal with that? I think I heard somewhere that Alex's father was a dentist or something like that, but I may be wrong about that. If anybody has any information on why Alex has the wrong address on his website on InfoWars for his Alex Jones Productions, I'd really like to know the answer.
Yeah, and if anybody... anybody out there wants to send Alex Jones $74 for a ticket to the L.A. conference, don't send it to this address because you're going to be sending it to the dentist.
How bizarre. It's like people can want to pay for videos and T-shirts and products off his website. This guy thought he was going to be mailing a payment to Alex Jones. Instead, he would be mailing it to a dental office.
Yeah.
A clinic.
Very bizarre. Finally, let's go full circle here, come back to Iran. And as we said, that there's four major players right now in this potential war with Iran. Of course, there's Iran, there's the United States, there's the European Union, and there's this other little country in the Middle East their name seems to escape me for a minute.
Oh, you mean the I word?
Could it be Israel? Yeah, Israel seems to have their nose in this again too, and their vice premier Shimon Peres, everybody knows him. He recently said that there might not be any choice but to go to war with Iran. It sounds like he was reading off the same script as that Kenneth Timmerman. Okay, and Shimon Peres also said something and this was straight directed to Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He says they should bear in mind that his own country could be destroyed. Now, you remember when Ahmadinejad said that Israel should be wiped off of the face of the map?
Uh-huh.
Well, we agree with that. He wasn't saying that all the Israeli people should be killed. He's saying that the nation of Israel itself isn't a legitimate nation, that the nation of Israel should be wiped off the map. And I agree. The state of Israel, because ever since Israel was formed by the United Nations in 1948, it's been nothing but terrorism, war, and disaster.
Mass murder.
Yeah, and so Ahmadinejad saying it should be wiped off of the face of the map, but then Shimon Peres says, well, your own country could also be destroyed. Do you think he's talking maybe about the 400-plus nuclear weapons that Israel is now sitting on, the real weapons of mass destruction?
I'm sure it crossed his mind a couple times.
Yeah, so, then you bring the Israeli lobby into it, and they're talking about this timetable for war. Now, when does Israel get to determine what the timetable for war is?
I guess
Why do they
get to determine pretty much everything else that goes along in foreign policy.
Yeah, so there's an article...
Our foreign policy.
Yeah, there's an article... It was written by a guy named James Brooks. It's called Recipe for War, Israeli Hysteria and Imperial Logic. And basically what he says is that what Israel would really prefer is to goad somebody else into doing the job for them.
Well, see, what Israel does is uses other nations as the stick to beat its enemies with. Just like it uses the United States to beat its enemies for it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Israel's an instigator.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask, Lisa. Is who do you think this other is that they would goad into doing their dirty work for them?
Well, who are chumps other than the United States?
It's us. He's referring to us. Then we have Abe Foxman, okay? Now, he's the head of the ADL. And do you remember maybe 4 weeks ago, when there was all this talk about what a disaster Iraq has become, and a lot of people were saying, well, the United States is only fighting this war because of Israel. It's Israel's war. Well, Abe Foxman comes out, and he's like, shh, shh, maybe we better cool this a little bit.
Yeah, they don't want any blowback.
Yeah, because he says the worse this debate on Iraq gets, the worse the blame is on Israel.
Well, no, and he said, like, the more of an issue it is made of, yeah, of protecting Israel, the American people are going to get really pissed off because they're going to think we're fighting this war for Israel.
Yeah.
Well, we are. So, we are fighting it, yeah, for Israel.
So Abraham Foxman is saying, maybe we shouldn't call this Israel's war. Maybe we shouldn't talk about this too loudly, because the worse it becomes over there, the worse the blame comes on Israel. It doesn't it seem like the entire universe
revolves around Israel and, yes, the Jews? And you know what? It's not a war. It's a slaughter. It's a Holocaust. Yes. And it's instigated by Israel and the, yes, neocon Zionists.
So think about that. And it isn't just the entire world revolves around Israel. It's the whole
universe,
the entire galaxy, the entire creation of eternity revolves around Israel.
The sun rises and sets, yeah,
and
around,
see,
Israel.
What we're seeing right now, I think, is the final rhetoric, the final quote-unquote diplomacy, where it was like, well,
you
we're...
You mean diplomacy for public consumption?
Yeah, exactly. Where, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to help Iran,
yeah,
out.
That's
and
called a semblance.
Yeah, and to bring them to the table, but... You know, then there's other people saying, well, this summer there's going to be another attack, and that's how we're going to be goaded into this war. And I like these people. I won't even mention any names, but they seem to come up with a new prediction every week.
Oh, I saw that one too.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. They come up with predictions
they're
every
like,
week.
They're like modern-day Nostradamus.
Yeah, except that 99, maybe 999 out of every 1,000 predictions doesn't come true.
Yeah.
So they just conveniently forget about those ones.
Uh-huh.
And the next week come up with another one. Then when finally it's like, they, what's that old saying? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So when their 1 in 1,000 prediction comes true, then they say, oh, well, I predicted this 2 months ago. You know?
I shouldn't even compare them to Nostradamus. Because,
yeah,
this, especially these latest ones, they're,
yeah,
just not as eloquent, not cryptic, and blatantly,
yeah,
so,
yes. So these 999 predictions, they,
yeah,
conveniently forget about those, but,
uh-huh,
they say, oh, well, I predicted this 2 months ago.
Do you know why? Because they tend to have thwarted the other ones, and that's,
yeah,
why the other ones,
yeah,
never panned out,
yeah,
because they always rush in like Mighty Dog, or was,
exactly,
it, no, not Mighty Dog, Underdog.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you
to
give your dog,
day.
Mighty,
yeah,
Dog.
Mighty Dog.
Anyway, folks, we're going to have on our show tomorrow, part two of our, mm-hmm, interview with Mr. Mark Farrell. He produced the latest DVD called The Holocaust Unveiled. The first installment 2 weeks ago was just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about all the other questions that we didn't have a chance to fit in 2 weeks ago. And as Vinny Sammartino said in an email to us a few days ago last Friday, he says, why is it that there's some subjects that are allowed to be on the table and some aren't? Well, here at Wing TV, we're putting the most taboo subjects of all on the table, and we very much look forward to Mark Farrell. Also, go to the Wing TV homepage, take a look at this Rupert article. The guy's pathetic. Send him an email, tell him he's pathetic, because he really is. And
the real 9/11 researchers have never gone anywhere.
That's
we are
right.
still at the front lines, and we're still fighting hard to expose the truth and the lies of this government's complicity in,
yeah,
the mass murder of nearly 3,000 people and the thousands that subsequently got killed in the wars to follow.
And we're not trying to bamboozle you with peak oil or any of these other crackpot notions. So until tomorrow, thanks for tuning in. Keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.